CliffCentral.com.
Well, there we go. When last did you hear that? That's Rob Thomas, Matchbox 20. Remember, he was once a big deal. Like, everybody wanted a piece of him, right?
He was a big deal. And then, do you remember he then also tried a solo career?
Yeah, it didn't go so well. Matchbox 20 and Bent bringing us to... Seven minutes past seven, and that means the news with Mabari Malloy. Before we get into the news, was Sia just doing cartwheels?
I walked out of the studio into the hub area where Sia sits, and he says to me, "Do you remember how to do cartwheels still?" And then he runs from one side of the room to the other, and he says, "I can't remember. I'm going to try one now, but I'm scared." So he screams, and he gets all dramatic.
Right.
And then he does one anyway.
But you guys, these are the base essentials. We used to do cartwheels all the time as kids. Now we can't. Like, gravity's not my friend. I
couldn't. Yeah, like, you're so fat.
No, but I'm just saying, can you do a cartwheel now?
Are you kidding? I could never do a cartwheel.
Even as a kid?
No.
Oh, then maybe, sorry.
I'm the least coordinated person in the universe.
I literally had to, I got dizzy for a few seconds afterwards. That's how bad it is.
No, there's the... Look, certain stuff is... I could never do cartwheels, and I hate people who can. I always feel like they're showing off.
Coordination thing?
I think so, huh?
Can you pat your head and rub your tummy at the same time?
I think I can do that. Okay, I tried that.
Yeah. At least you have some sort of coordination.
Wow. It's minimal. Physical prowess is it's just somewhat lacking. All right, let's get into this because it's time to find out what's happening in the news. And lots of people want to know what the hell is going on in the world, not just in Brussels, but everywhere else as well. And here to help us figure out the world, it is Mabari Malloy with the latest in the news. Do you want some special intro music, Mabs?
I've been spoiled. So, yes, I want my music.
See what I can find for you here. Let me try this. That's not it. That's like Angry Birds. Hang on, here it is. There we go. It's time for the news. By the way, what I want you to do is come up with some new songs because we need a fresh selection of Mabale's news music. So if you have any ideas, send those to us. You can send them to gareth@cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, we got a submission while you were away in the US. I must get Ben to send it to you because we only played it once.
That's right.
A guy on a guitar. I think his name is Ryan.
Oh, very good.
I'm sorry if you're not Ryan. I really am, but I really appreciated it.
All right.
Okay, so let's begin with the Brussels situation and just, kind of summarize what we know this morning. It didn't take too long at all yesterday for the Islamic State group to officially claim responsibility for the attacks in Brussels.
Right. Who else could it be?
That have left at least 34 people dead. Those numbers, depending on which news channel or which publication you're getting the information from, is different. Some have the numbers in the 20s, others have them in their 30s. So, forgive us.
It's just a horrible, horrible story. And I really feel bad for the people of Belgium. nobody wants these things to happen. Nobody expects these things to happen. Innocent civilians going about their business.
The group posted a statement on their site, or not on their site, but they posted a statement online saying, "Soldiers of the Caliphate carried out an attack targeting the Crusader state of Belgium, which is fighting Islam and its people." There's a bit of a backstory to the situation, which investigators are looking into and trying to see if there's some connections here.
Yeah.
The Belgian capital was hit by deadly bomb attacks barely a week after a police raid on an apartment that led to the capture of the last fugitive from the Paris massacre. This guy has been named as Salah Abdesalam. He is Europe's most wanted man, or was Europe's most wanted man, until he was arrested last week, Friday, Gareth, in a shootout with police in the district of Brussels, or in the Molenbeek district of Brussels, where the Paris attacks were hatched. He is a 26-year-old Frenchman who had been on the run for 4 months. He'd told investigators that he was planning another strike in Brussels. So it was just very interesting because last week, Friday, you had authorities saying that they'd captured this guy, and they'd been very vocal about the fact that this guy was being very cooperative with them, so far as to say that he was also collaborating with authorities. And now investigators are asking the question, well, then, did these Brussels attacks take place because, you know, the people that he was allegedly working with decided, oh, no, they captured him, he is alive, and now they're saying that he is cooperating with these guys, issue the attack. You know, there are all sorts of questions being asked now about yesterday's attack. But I did mention that at least 34 people were killed, with some more than 200 who were injured. It was also discovered that suicide vests were worn that carried explosive devices and machine guns.
Of course, they were these cowards. They want to make some statement, but then they're never there to pick up the pieces. If you'll pardon the pun, they're never around to see the consequences of their actions. And also, the real soldier would go in and fight people who are equally armed. You know? Man against man. If it's hand-to-hand combat, then so be it. If you've got a gun, then he's got to have a gun. These are civilians. These are women and children in an airport. You monsters. Oh, I hate it so much. It makes me so angry. There are very few things that get me angry anymore. I'm basically emotionally numb to 90% of the stuff in the universe. But this gets me furious. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah. Even though suicide vests were worn, police did issue a wanted notice for a man who is suspected to be involved in these attacks.
Oh, yeah.
Calling for information, they issued a photograph of the man yesterday who was spotted walking with two other men. He was wearing a white shirt and jacket and wearing a dark hat as he pushed luggage through the airport. So there are also questions around whether there is a third suspect involved who didn't detonate his suicide vest, or who somehow just managed to take his vest off and leave it there after the other two bombs went off. Again, you know, just a whole lot of questions that investigators are trying to comb through at the moment to put all the information together. Politicians in America who are not fans of President Barack Obama have since criticized the president and saying, well, why hasn't he come home from Cuba yet? He should be prioritizing. He should come back to America. Of course, Obama did what, you know, was expected of him, and to make a statement about, you know, all of us being united against terrorists, all that stuff that, you know, that he says.
But he's now
being criticized because the guy is in Cuba, and some people in America are saying, but as the leader of the country, he should be back in the States. Instead, he's busy playing baseball or being in baseball games in Cuba. Where are your priorities, Mr. President? You know, which some people are also saying, well, is that fair, though? I mean, the guy still needs to carry out his responsibilities in Cuba. Heck, he went there for a reason. He needs to see this trip through.
People, you know what? If you hate Obama, you're going to find every reason to make it his problem and his fault. And it's not this has got nothing to do with Barack Obama. It's a bunch of suicidal maniacs in Belgium. How can you expect now? And now he must call this visit to Cuba short, which, by the way, is historic and very, very meaningful and very important, not just to the Cuban people, but to those millions of Cuban Americans who are voting in the election this year. Dummies. People are so stupid. They're so consumed with their own stuff that they can't. I mean, why don't those people who are so busy criticizing Barack Obama spend that time and take that energy to sympathize and empathize with the people of Belgium? No. I have to make it about them. I hate Obama so... .. Dicks.
Okay. So there's that. Now, you remember Ben mentioning yesterday a story about a scam involving Oscar Pistorius?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
What's happening there?
So this is what went down yesterday. The case against the man accused of attempting to extort money from Oscar Pistorius has been postponed. The man in question is Chifiliwa Ruzadzi. He appeared at the Specialized Commercial Crimes Court in Pretoria on charges of corruption and extortion. Basically, what this man did was he pretended to be from the National Prosecuting Authority, right?
Uh-huh.
And he managed to get a hold of Oscar Pistorius' cell phone number. Again, you know, I don't know how these people manage to do these things, but I suppose if you're ambitious, you'll find ways.
Wow.
The allegation is that he managed to get a hold of Pistorius' number. He called him up. He pretended to be from the NPA, and he said, if you give me 250,000 rand, I can make your conviction go away. The story then goes on to say that Oscar Pistorius played along with this guy,
right,
and then eventually alerting the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
After this guy had accepted a 40,000 rand deposit, because I remember Ben asking the question, well, if this guy did receive 40K from the Pistoriuses, why aren't they being charged for anything? Because essentially they would also have been committing a crime. And the story goes that apparently Oscar was playing along and then alerted the Hawks and said, this guy is trying to scam me. And now people are saying, oh, is Oscar just trying to come across as some kind of model citizen?
Well, here's the funny thing, right? He's going to be state witness in the trial against this guy. But the state are the ones who've been prosecuting him up to now. How bizarre is that?
How very bizarre. How very strange. So this guy appeared in court yesterday and his case has been postponed. He has been is being charged with... what did I say here? Corruption and extortion. Those are the charges that he is facing.
Well, I'll tell you what. If anyone ever tries to extort you, if anyone ever tries to force you to do something or not do something in exchange for money, you just go straight to the police, whether it's a small amount or a big amount, because they will be locked up for that. It is a very serious crime. You never need to be extorted by anyone. It's very dangerous.
I think a crucial part of this will be when he paid the 40,000. Was it after telling the Hawks or before?
It appears from the circumstances that Mubs has just told us about that he did this with the full knowledge of the prosecutors, or rather of the state. So with the cops on his side. In other words, he would have told them the minute he got the call.
Oh, okay.
Also, how could you be so dumb as to think that some guy in the NPA is going to just make this go away when it's probably the most well-known murder trial in South African history?
Exactly.
Some people take an ounce of hope when there's no hope.
That's true. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
But you'd have to be a special kind of stupid to believe this. So I think what Oscar did is exactly what Mubs said. Got the call, thought, oh, okay, you son of a bitch. Told the police. Then they arranged for the 40 grand to go to him, so it lured him in. And then if he wanted the rest, he had to come out, and he did. And that's when they nabbed him. Clever. Good
Maybe
move.
He could have also sorted out a deal for a lesser sentence for helping the police grab someone.
Turns out he didn't even work for the NPA.
Yeah.
Oh, no. This guy was a complete imposter.
What's his name?
Chifuluwa Ruzadzi.
That's it. It's a hell of a name.
I know.
Hello, this is Chifuluwa Ruzadzi. I believe everything you say from here on in. All right. What else have we got?
All right. Speaking of money, let's talk about Michael Jackson and his kids. And apparently his kids are now facing the prospect of losing their inheritance and a big chunk of their inheritance, because as it stands, they are meant to inherit billions and billions of rands, right? Not dollars, but rands, just because of, you know, the economic the situation that we
but
find
billions
ourselves
of rands
in.
Is a lot of money.
Billions of rands is a lot of money. Now, Michael Jackson's children will reportedly lose most of that money. The late singer's kids, Prince, who is 19, Paris, who's 17, and Blanket, who's 14, were due to inherit their windfall when they turned 30. But the tax man! Tax authorities are said to be seeking a big chunk from the Thriller hitmaker's estate. And Michael, who died, from that whole propofol intoxication incident back in 2009.
Dr. Conrad Murray.
Well, it's believed that he was in a serious amount of debt when he died, which is why the tax man is now saying, sorry, Jackson offspring, you'll not be seeing most of this money because your daddy owed a lot.
Oh, no.
Well, he did owe a lot of tax money. And remember, he was pretty much broke by the time he died.
Yes, those were the reports.
The best his estate's ever been is since he's been dead. There's more money in that bank account than there ever was while he was alive. So, oh, shame. The kids aren't going to get as much as they would have got. But they'll still get some.
They'll still get some.
They'll get a nice chunk of change.
On paper, the kids are billionaires thanks to these massive sums. But the truth is that those sums will barely be in their accounts by the time, for any amount of time, because, you know, the tax man has come knocking. The IRS has been very public about their demand in terms of how much money they're seeking from the Michael Jackson estate.
So out of the whole amount, how much do they want?
So they've so the story that I'm reading from is citing the amounts in rands, right? I mean, they're not speaking about dollars here. So they stand to lose most of their 19.5 billion rand. The IRS, from that 19.5 billion, the IRS say that they want as much as 12 billion.
Which that sounds a bit greedy, if you ask me.
It would leave the kids. It does sound greedy because when he died, they said that his debt amounted to over 6.5 billion, but the IRS want almost twice as much as that.
It sounds like they're just, you know, because the guy's dead, so they're just going to take whatever they want.
Sounds like a lot of interest has accumulated since Michael Jackson died in 2009.
But again, you know, this whole idea of inheriting huge amounts of money, I don't think it's good for anyone to inherit a huge amount of money. I just don't think it's good. There's no urgency. Even Bill Gates says he's not going to leave his kids a whole lot of money. He's the richest man in the world. He says he'll leave them some. But who needs... If you inherit $5 million...
Yeah.
Then if you waste that or you run out or you screw up, that's your own fault. Because you already got a head start of $5 million. Nobody needs a head start of $1 billion. Doesn't matter who you are. Nobody needs that head start. You're just going to be a douchebag. You're never going to really have ambition. You're never going to know what the value of something is because you didn't earn it. You just got it for being born to the right parents.
So you think even with the kinds of clauses that were in place here where Jackson said the kids can only have access to the money when they turn 30, which means that up until that age, they need to fend for themselves somehow. You don't think that that's still good enough?
I don't know how he could have made them... Like, surely when they're really young, that's when they shouldn't have to fend for themselves.
Well, I don't know, because...
That doesn't sound right.
I mean, if you're going to give them all this money, why wait until they're 30 to give it to them?
Is that what he said?
Well, this was the agreement, was that they would only have access to these billions when they turn 30. So do people do this because they're hoping that in their 20s, the children will get an education and then start working so that they at least learn the principles of work?
Go and spend the money on stupid stuff.
Okay.
So I don't think that's entirely a dumb idea. But what this probably means is that someone like his mother, Catherine, who is probably the executor of the estate, she's the one, or at least the administrator of the trust or whatever it might be, she's the one who would have decided, all right, you can have this much for your school fees. That'll cover your costs of your clothes and your food and all the rest of it. So she's still dishing out the money. But they get to make the decisions once they're 30. That could be a trust. I don't think that's part of the will. Because you can't rule from the grave. You know that. You can't make rules from the grave about what your kids can and can't do.
I was surprised to hear that.
No, you can't.
Well, I mean, why should you?
Because it's your money at the end of the day.
Yeah, but you're no longer there.
Once you're not around, once you're dead, you don't have any legal privileges, rights, responsibilities, none of that stuff.
Once you're dead, it's no longer your money because you're not there anymore. Yeah. So it's not yours.
You see, but I don't even trust Catherine to be a response. You know, I'm not... discussing her parenting.
What's your problem with Catherine?
Here. But the mere fact that she's still with Joe and they've been...
No, she's not. They're separate. They live separately.
You know, they've never filed for divorce, but they're still, like, legally married, even though they're separated. For me, that's kind of shady.
Or maybe they're just old school. Because, you know, the older generation don't really do the whole divorce thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're just old school like that and they thought,
That's just, you do you, I'll do me, and let's not make this mess.
But also, no. At the same time, imagine Jackson kids if they didn't get the money, and now we're seeing a Jackson kid work at a convenience store.
That would be great.
No.
Okay, so here's an interesting thing, because last week, what happened was that Sony bought out Michael Jackson's stake in the Sony ATV Music Publishing, because Michael Jackson apparently owned 50% of Sony ATV Publishing.
Oh, wow.
This is a very interesting story. At the time that Michael Jackson purchased his stake, it was considered one of the smartest investments in music history. Back in 1985, Michael Jackson purchased half of Sony Music, half of Sony ATV for $41.5 million, which basically meant that Michael Jackson owned the publishing rights to a lot of artists' music, including the Beatles. And
yeah, I mean, that's genius, right?
Oh, this story is amazing, Gareth, because now Paul McCartney of the Beatles, who has been trying for years, is actually trying to reclaim his own Beatles songs after Michael Jackson bought them from underneath him.
Can you imagine what this means? This means that every time Paul McCartney goes up on stage and sings, "Hey Jude," he has to pay Michael Jackson's estate money for his own song.
For his own song.
Isn't that genius?
And
he knows he's single-handedly getting them out of debt.
Right.
The supposed story as to how this happened is also very interesting itself, if it is true, because one day Paul McCartney apparently started talking to Michael Jackson about music publishing, and he said, you know, you could really make a lot of money if you went into some sort of publishing deal where you own people's music. And then
Michael's like, yeah, I'm going to own yours, bitch.
Yes, Michael Jackson's responded to Paul, well, maybe someday I'll buy your songs, Paul. And he laughed. And then Paul said, haha, good joke. And then what happened?
Crazy.
In 1985, Michael Jackson bought Sony ATV Publishing. He became a 50% shareholder in the deal, and he ended up owning some of the Beatles songs. I mean, we're talking about songs like Hey Jude, Revolution, or Obla Di Oblada. Yes.
That's right.
These were essentially owned by Michael Jackson estate, and now Paul McCartney is saying, I want my stuff back.
Yeah, good luck to you.
After Sony bought out.
You're going to have to pay up, dude.
I don't know if you've ever noticed, but Michael Jackson's kids, their names each have Michael Jackson in their name. Like Prince Michael Jackson II.
Mm-hmm.
Paris Michael Catherine Jackson and Michael Joseph Jackson Jr.
No, that's blanket.
No, there's even this pact thing. So Michael Jackson, his sister Latoya, and what's her name? Paris Hilton's mother? The three of them had this pact that as soon as they had a child, they'd name them Paris. So, of course, Paris Hilton's mother named her daughter Paris, we all know. Michael Jackson has a daughter Paris. And then Latoya, who doesn't have children, just named her dog Paris.
Oh, shame, because she's barren.
She does.
Shame, she's got a dried up old uterus with nothing that'll grow. Poor Latoya.
Exactly, her daughter's a dog.
Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear.
Poor Latoya, what a disappointment she is, huh?
Not a singing career, not kids, no money.
She's really the worst of the Jacksons.
Oh, shame. No, let's be nice. Jeez. No, I think Tito's the worst. There's some... You know, if they list the Jackson 5 and you forget the one, that's the worst.
Tito.
Tito is the one whose children are getting that reality TV show.
Yeah.
Because his children formed that R&B group 3T back in the 90s.
Do you remember them? Yes.
And I think at some point Michael Jackson either tried to produce them or he did produce one of their songs, but they were a one-hit wonder. And now Tito and those children are going to have a reality TV show.
Here's their song. Listen to this. This is 3T. Produced by Michael Jackson. These are his three nephews, Tito's children. Take a listen.
I need you, girl. I couldn't live a day without you.
Oh, it's horrible. If their uncle wasn't Michael Jackson, we'd never have heard from them.
I try to write a special song, a love song just for you. Try to explain the way you make me feel inside. Though the meaning may be simple, and the words
you can tell they're Jacksons, by the way. They look like Jacksons.
Yeah. They've got that sound to it as well.
Oh, wow. All right.
They sound so Jackson-y.
Yeah.
They do.
Very Jackson-y. So Tito's got a reality TV show with his three kids. Yeah. Or are they still producing it? It'll never see the light of day.
No, it's aired.
Who's going to watch that?
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Who's going to watch that?
Don't they take you behind scenes of concerts and stuff?
What concerts? These guys don't have concerts.
When does the light?
That was in the promo.
Whose concert? And they're Janet?
She's
the only one still touring.
Yeah, the only one who they'll... And Janet's living in the Middle East or something now.
Exactly.
I don't think they get to see Aunt Janet so much.
With her billionaire husband, she's sorted.
Janet's like, please, God, don't make the rest of those Jacksons reel me back in. Because, you know, she can tell. She saw what happened with Michael.
Yes.
They were all just hanging around like vultures on the outside trying to get his money. So she's like, please, dear rich sheikh, whatever your name is, who I married, just keep me away from my own family. They're way more dangerous than anybody in this country.
I want to put money on it. I'm certain in the series they'll still be dealing with the loss of Uncle Michael, and it's so sad and it's so hard for us.
Oh, for sure.
Therapy sessions, memorial sessions.
Oh, memorial concerts for more money.
They'll probably send them off to his grave for some kind of tribute. You watch. Hey, how's Joseph Jackson, the dad, doing since he had those strokes after the three Viagras? Do you remember?
He went to Brazil for his birthday celebration.
Yeah, I remember that. And he took a whole bunch of Viagra.
Because he was partying with, I think, a group of very young, sexy ladies.
Right.
So he needed a little bit of blue pill assistance.
And then a party!
And then suffered, was it a heart attack?
No, it was a stroke.
Oh.
He had a stroke.
I don't know how he's been since.
Creepy old bastard.
And I don't know how Blu-ray Records has been doing as well, because, you know.
Yeah. You see, I have faith in this thing called life. If Mugabe's still alive, Joe Jackson's still alive, the key is just be badass and you'll be alive.
Yeah, don't worry about it. You'll be fine. Apparently, he's been cracking jokes, and he said his speech is not impaired, his vision is restored. As reported, an artery burst behind his eye, causing temporary blindness and possibly triggering a stroke. He says he's aware how close to death he was, and he's grateful to be alive. I mean, he's got a pacemaker now, but he's still going strong.
Of course he will.
Making money.
This is Joe Jackson.
All right. What else have we got, Mubs?
South African National Roads Agency Limited, more familiarly known as SANRAL, say that those of you who want to contest the receipt of summonses over outstanding e-toll fees are free to take the matter to court. Apparently, this is what they've been doing. They've been issuing out summons for those of us who haven't been paying our e-toll fees. Has anybody been paying their
e-toll? Who's paid? Who's been paying e-tolls?
I am yet to receive a single
I haven't got a bill
from them, so I don't know what's going on there. The civil society organization, the Opposition to Urban Tolling Alliance, OUTA, say that they will challenge the summons after several failed attempts to have e-tolls declared illegal.
Yeah, good for them.
SANRAL announced this week that it had instructed sheriffs in regions across Gauteng to start issuing the notices, and it says it will mainly target high-level offenders such as companies with large amounts of unpaid debt. 'Cause, you know, when you work for... say a company that has company cars, they come automatically with those.
I hate that. I want to rent a car, for example.
Yeah.
When I'm out of town.
Yes.
I see they've got that e-tag on.
Yeah.
If those rental companies in the beginning had just said no, this whole thing would have been so much easier. I reckon most of the e-tags that were ever issued were issued to those companies.
So according to the spokesperson for the roads agency, he says people still have an opportunity when they receive a summons to say they change their minds and say we'll come forward and pay. We're interested in taking up a 60% discount. If they ignore, we will seek judgment. And if they want to entrust it in court, then we will meet in a court of law. And SANRAL are basically saying
bring it on. We're yeah, but you'll to take it to court.
The first person they take to court, Arta said that they will defend. Hmm. So, you know what? Come and get us, you sons of bitches. Come on, we're ready for you, Sanro.
Fuck you. Go kiss my ass.
That's right.
Here's a short song,
Sanro.
You motherfucker.
Correct.
I hope that you get run over by a car. You the asshole you are.
By the way, every cent of this song goes to Michael Jackson's estate. That's right. Okay, very beautiful song for Sanrel.
Now, we often hear about the exploits of politicians in this country in terms of the kind of greed that goes on there. Mm-hmm. But we don't really hear about the everyday man's story.
Okay.
And there was a guy who got 100,000 rand bail in court yesterday in the East London Magistrates Court. He is a suspect who has gotten himself caught in a 71 million rand fraud case.
What?
A man charged with defrauding a group of companies of 71 million rand.
Huh.
Was granted bail of 100,000 rand by the East London Magistrates Court. The Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation said that 53-year-old Henry Louis Fourie Schroeder appeared in court for a charge of defrauding the Accentuate group of companies of a total of 71 million rand.
Wow.
According to the Hawks...
You knew!
Yes. According to the Hawks, the man handed himself in after investigating officers visited his home last week Friday with the intention of arresting him. However, he was allegedly away attending a business meeting in Pretoria when the authorities arrived. But he then handed himself in. He is the suspended chief financial director of Floorworks. It is a company based in East London. He allegedly defrauded this company between the years of 2005 and 2015 of a total of 71 million rand.
Whew.
You dumb bitch.
You thought you weren't going to get caught.
While he was the chief financial directorate of this company, he would upload fictitious creditors on the company's system and authorize their payments.
Wow.
The company's head office in Johannesburg would...
You knew!
Yes, the company's head office in Johannesburg would then approve this payment since he had authorized it. And basically over 10 years, this guy managed to defraud the business of 71 million rand. You know,
71.
Jesus, that's a lot of money. What do you think? You think people aren't going to notice when 71 million rand goes missing?
Wow.
What a bunch of dummies.
But when you hear stories like this, do you sit back and think to yourself, I wonder if I could pull something like that off? Or do you just think, am I a sucker?
No.
Is a problem that I'm just not greedy enough, and this is why I'm not as rich as some people in the world?
You go to sleep at night. We all do, right? You worry, oh, I got bills. I got this to worry about. I can't afford that. I can't afford this. Right? We all do.
Yes.
Okay. So you wake up in the morning and you go to work and you try to earn some money to do that stuff. But I don't think you'd even get to sleep at night if you knew you'd taken 71 million rand and they were going to eventually come and get you. You must live every day in fear that today's the last day I'm going to have that money. It's never worth stealing. I'm telling you, the peace of mind you get out of not being a thief is worth more, way more than 71 million rand. I'm telling you.
I don't know if you remember that story of that guy. I think he was a banker who took 1 cent out of everyone's account and he became like a millionaire.
Yeah.
That was genius.
Now that's clever because no one's going to miss a cent. Yeah.
But did
but
he
that's
get
a
caught?
Lot of work.
He got caught.
Oh, well, you then see? He got caught.
That's how you get caught.
All right. Well, there we go. It's no such thing as a free...
You knew.
Yes, ma'am. Free lunch.
Because I always think to myself, there are so many greedy people among us, around us. You know, they're not all in government even. They're living among us every day. Like this guy was a harmless-looking 53-year-old man in East London. And this is what he managed to do. And I think to myself, there's so many greedy people who steal. Are the rest of us who don't steal just suckers?
Who knew that there was 71 million rand in East London? Really? Hey, can I play you this? Hillary Clinton had a coughing fit the other day again.
Okay.
She's busy talking about something. She answered a question. Listen to this. This is not doctored at all. This is real.
Whether it was going undercover to Alabama to expose segregated academies and try to strip them of their tax exemptions, or running the legal clinic at the University of Arkansas to represent inmates. Excuse me. Too much to say. That's been part of my mission.
Shame.
Why is she doing this to herself?
It's such an old lady cough.
Well, she's an old lady,
yeah,
but
I just want to give her tea and a couch.
Listen, why is she going through this? You know what hell it is to make yourself a presidential candidate? Everybody hates her.
Oh.
Everybody hates Hillary. I read an article about how it was in the New York Times. Nobody, despite all the interest around this election, nobody really loves Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton.
But what about their supporters?
No.
They don't love them?
No, they more hate the other side. There's not a lot of reasons to... Neither of them are really popular people. Especially to the other side, but even if they're in their own camps. Isn't that a horrible place to be? What you've got to ask yourself, here's Hillary Clinton. She was a great first lady. She really was. She put up with Bill and his shenanigans, but that's not the most important thing about her. She did terrific things while she was first lady, right? It's unfortunate for her that the only thing that a lot of people know about her is that her husband cheated on her. I mean, that's not her fault. Then she became a very successful senator for New York. She became Secretary of State, only the second woman ever to occupy that office. Sorry, third. Third woman to occupy that office. And,
Oh.
Oh.
Look
at Hillary Clinton.
Look at that cough.
Karma. More like a sneezing fit with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, sorry.
So what I was saying.
Yes.
So what I was saying was.
to represent inmates. Excuse me.
They clapped.
Oh, shame. What else is going
to
do?
Too much to say. That's been part of my mission.
This poor woman, she's so exhausted.
Oh, I
feel bad for her. Anyway, what I was saying is that Hillary Clinton's done all these wonderful things for America, and people just hate her. I mean, there's just people all over America that are just full of hatred for Hillary Clinton, and it's unbelievable. They don't know her. They don't have any dealings with her. She's just not their favorite candidate. And they can't say or think or make any comment that isn't just full of vitriol and nastiness and hatred. I mean, listen to this. 10 reasons to hate Hillary Clinton.
Wow.
This is an actual YouTube clip someone put up online. It's crazy. Listen to this guy.
Yeah. It's officially the biggest midget in the game.
This is his theme music.
10 reasons to hate Hillary Clinton. You're welcome. Reason number 10. She's more of a man than I'll ever be, and I'm jealous. Reason number 9. She's not in the kitchen, and I'm hungry. Reason number 8. She can't control her husband. She can't control this country.
Reason number 7. She beats up cripples, and that ain't cool.
Reason number 6. Hey, she wears the Iron Curtain as a dress. Communism ain't American. Yep.
Do you see what I mean? Stupid, right?
He is not annoying in any way whatsoever.
Can we just discuss one of the points?
Oh, yeah.
The person hates Hillary Clinton because she's not in the kitchen and he's hungry?
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a throwback from an old way of thinking of,
he's a dinosaur.
Women are good for being barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. I mean, he's just playing on that whole thing.
So that just shows how much people hate her.
Yeah.
That they'll bring up all these arbitrary reasons.
Listen to this. This is the reason women hate Hillary Clinton. Listen to this. This dude.
Hillary Clinton. I discovered years ago that I used to do some polling work and stuff for when she was running for the Senate the first time here in New York. And I remember talking to people who had organized some of these focus groups among white women. And that was the first time I had ever been exposed to this sort of I'll call a bimodal distribution of white women when it comes to Hillary Clinton. Either they loved her unconditionally, or they wanted her hit by a bus, and they wanted to be the ones driving the bus. And I was shocked by this. I thought that there was a, you know, we all love, you know, all white women love all white women, and so therefore, everybody don't get along. And I was like, what's going on? It threw me off. And I felt like Karen on Will and Grace. What's going on? And so, here's my theory. I can't prove it, but here's my theory. There's a tacit agreement, if you will, a prescriptive ethic, what ought to happen, then a descriptive ethic, what does happen. We're still talking about Hillary Clinton. The prescriptive ethic is, if you're with a man and he cheats on you, you leave him. Period. That's it. Hillary, her man cheated. We all heard about it. We all knew about it.
It was an
international sensation. And Hillary didn't leave.
And she was ugly.
Well, quite frankly, most women don't leave. They just don't. Because if most women left, you know, they say 50% of divorces, marriages end in divorce. I would argue, you know, 90% of marriages end in divorce. So then what was it about Hillary that upset people so? It was because she was this sort of public manifestation of the fact of saying to men, yes, you can cheat. Yes, we'll get pissed off, but we're going to stay.
No.
And so you've violated the rule, if you will. The rule is you're supposed to make them think you're going to leave. And so surely if Hillary doesn't leave Bill, then I ain't going to leave my man. But now that he knows that, you know, you've shown him my hand.
Uh-oh. What do you think of that? He's actually a professor, this guy. That's what he reckons that's the reason so many people hate Hillary Clinton. I don't know if I buy that.
I don't know if it can be concluded down to that one point, no.
Poor Hillary. She does. She just deals with a huge amount of hate.
Also, you know, these days, women who don't leave their husbands just, I mean, they just cheat right back. Like, it's a lot easier to get a fuckboy to entertain you while your husband is, you know, busy.
What?
Sorry, that's what they're called.
That's the new term now.
It's like it's a
hey, Mabali, what are you wearing?
No, Bill, no.
I've been holding on for a whole long time now.
Bill, you're a grandfather now.
I could see you on the webcam.
And you have a granddaughter, Bill. I really think that you need. Okay. Bill, does it bother you in any way whatsoever that you share the same name with Bill Cosby? Because, you know.
Oh, he used to be a friend of mine, but then I discovered that he was doing this stuff. And, well, I don't like people to put drugs. I'd prefer no drugs in the drinks.
You mean you prefer consent? I think that's what you were trying to say.
Oh, hell yeah. But I like consent for a whole bunch of freaky stuff. Do you want this cigar?
No, Bill.
It's not going to go in your mouth.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I gotta go. Hillary's coming.
All right, Bill. Okay, bye.
Wow. Yeah. Poor Bill. He's gonna be the first lady.
Which I actually don't think he's gonna have a problem with that if that were the case.
Nope.
By the way, the latest on Hillary Clinton, she and Donald Trump have both overwhelmed their rivals in Arizona in the primaries. That's today. Just 22 minutes ago, the results come in, and Arizona has gone for Hillary on the Democrat side and for Donald J. Trump on the Republican side. Avi's on the line. Hey, Avi, how you doing, bro?
Hey, morning, everyone. How are we doing?
Good. You went to the Trevor Noah show last night.
Yeah, I did. I sent you guys that photo earlier this morning.
So where are the studios?
So he's all the way on the west side, right? West 57th and 11th Avenue.
Okay, so it's... West 57th. That's quite a long way towards the East River.
That would be the West.
Sorry, River. Hudson River.
The Hudson. Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
So how did you end up there? I mean, is it easy to just get a ticket and go in there and say, "Hey, I'm here to watch the Daily Show"?
Yeah, I mean, I watch these shows quite often. I mean, I don't really follow many TV series, but I watch the nightly shows. I watch Larry Wilmore and that kind of stuff. So at the end of each show, you always see that thing. It says, hey, if you want to come and watch the show, just go to our website. So I went to the website and I got some tickets.
I wouldn't have let you in. How did they not do a background check on you?
I don't know about that. But hey, the security checks were quite tight, though, when we got there. it was almost like an airport pat down in actual fact.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you got to remember, they've got a lot of important guests that come through as well. Today, sure. I was over there and they had the Prime Minister of Estonia over there. I mean, literally meters away from people like that.
He's so important, the Prime Minister of Estonia. Can you tell me his name?
Yeah. It's Tavi something. Genuine, Tavi something.
All right, I'll take your word for it. I'm not that familiar with Estonian politics.
Yeah, he was on there because of all of the technological innovations he's been bringing to his country. Like in Estonia, they can now do elections online. You can literally vote using your smartphone. And
His name is Tavi Roivas.
Yeah, something like that.
Tavi Roivas. He looks like a young guy.
He's very young. He's 36 years of age.
Wow, and he's Prime Minister of Estonia?
Huh. Yeah, and if I can remember correctly, he might be the youngest Prime Minister in Europe. He took that title away from some old Italian prime minister.
Wow, how's that? Good for him. Yeah, all right, so he was the guest. Who else did Trevor have on?
No, that was it. That was the only guest that he had, and he obviously had some of his supporting acts in between scenes. So, terrific. I tell you what, that guy's come a long way.
Yeah, tell me how Trevor's doing.
Yeah, so I actually watched him 2 years ago in Pietermaritzburg. Mm-hmm. And his stage presence has grown immensely. I mean, now when you watch him, when you're right there, you can see he's now starting to control the crowd and dominate and exude his personality, which was probably lacking a little bit in his first 2 or 3 months of the show. And I don't think that's being unfair on him. I think, you know, when you're coming into such a massive show as The Daily Show, I mean, especially when you're filling in guys' boots as big as that, it can be easy to get carried away a little bit, but I think he's now running with it. I think the locals are certainly starting to take to him. The online stats are pretty good as far as viewership is concerned. But what impressed me more than anything else was that going into this show, I was actually under the impression that for shows like this, if he misses a word, they'll just start the whole scene altogether, or there'll be like a cut, take two.
But they just do it all
that kind of stuff.
One take, huh?
He just did everything in one take. It was terrific. I mean, you would have thought he'd cough at some point or he'd fart or something, you know, so they'd have to start again. But no, it just went by so smoothly.
Wow. All right, dude. Well, I think this is very cool that you got to see him live.
Oh, yeah. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
You didn't get to scream anything in, anything South African at him and then and get his attention.
Well, so I carried a South African flag. He noticed it and he pointed at it. So, I mean, that's as close as far as recognition goes from him. But some of his supporting acts, actually before the show, something that's also rather interesting and you don't get to see this if you're watching it on the TV, he actually has another comedian that comes in and does an opening act for him before he even comes on.
Yeah, they warm up the crowd, yeah.
Yeah, to warm up the crowd and, you know, to get the crowd going and, you know, practice one or two cheers and that's it. So, yeah, he was just asking about and he ended up asking me a couple of things as well because he saw the South African flag and that kind of thing.
Hmm. Cool. Well, that's cool, dude. All right. Well, listen, Avi, you keep representing all of us over there and let us know what else happens, all right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
How's your how's the politics in New York at the moment?
It's the only thing that everyone's talking about. It's actually real fascinating. I actually find it entertaining watching all of these debates every day, to tell you the truth. And you guys did a good little feature on, you know, what's happening at the moment as well. And, you know, to be honest, you know, with the Hillary bashing, a lot of the youth, and when I say youth, I'd say people aged 30 years and younger, some people even 32 years and younger that I know. A lot of them, and I'll say us because I also don't necessarily support Hillary. Part of the reason is because we can actually see through her. I mean, with all of the information that's available online now, everyone knows how much of lies she actually brings to the table. It's almost like it's become so normal for her. And she changes positions very quickly. She flip-flops as she needs to. Just the other day at Kennedy's wife's Reagan's wife's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
She brought up something about AIDS, which was actually totally incorrect. It was factually incorrect about what their stance was on AIDS. She actually had to come out with an apology the next day. And you'd think, why are you even talking about stuff like that on the day of a funeral? So we've got access to information. We can see all of her lies. But, you know, I'd say the older folk, the 40s plus, I mean, if you're Democrat, you don't really want to associate with the fresh ideas that Bernie is bringing. But a lot of the youth do associate with the ideas that he's bringing.
If you could vote in America, would you vote for Bernie?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Bernie recognizes the income inequality issues, and he's not bought off by anyone. And interestingly, that's probably also part of why Trump is doing so well on the other side.
Okay. All right, dude. Well, listen, we got to go. Thank you very much. Thanks, Avi.
Yeah, sure.
Talk to you later, bro.
Right, bye-bye. Cheers, dude.
There we go. There's Avi out of New York.
You know, one would assume with having...
we could see through your lies, Hillary.
I'm just like... One would assume that they'd be a bit lenient on Hillary when there's a rival such as Trump. So are people honestly saying that maybe they'd give in to everything that Trump says and does?
Hey, listen, a lot of people love Trump.
I guess that's what democracy
they
is.
They love him.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of this. What else is in the news, Mubs?
Well, we could take a look at the most congested cities in the world, according to TomTom's annual traffic index report, if you want to.
Yeah, what would be the most congested city in the world?
Because, you know, we're always complaining about traffic and, you know, you have statisticians doing a whole lot of calculations in terms of how much of your lifetime is spent on the road in traffic. And whenever you hear those figures, I mean, some of these add up to an average of 219 hours of extra travel time a year that you spend on the roads. 219 hours every year.
I don't know how people do it. I swear.
That is a great chunk of time that you're spending on traffic. So it could be interesting to hear this.
I don't know how people handle traffic. I can't handle it. Not at all. Drives me crazy. I would reckon the most congested city has got to be...
This is now globally, hey?
Okay, I'd say it's in China or it's in Mexico.
Mm. I'd say India.
Okay, so TomTom do this every year, and this is the eighth year running.
All right.
They use data, they're now in its fifth year, so they're using data from the year 2015 for this year's TomTom Traffic Index.
All right.
And they look at the traffic congestion situation in 295 cities in 38 countries on 6 continents. Okay, so
it's
not big. This is from Rome to Rio, Singapore to San Francisco. TomTom works with 14 trillion data points that have been accumulated over 8 years. Now, looking at TomTom's historical data, what it shows is that traffic congestion has increased by 13% globally since the year 2008. But there are surprising differences between the continents. For example, North America's traffic congestion has gone up by 17%, but then Europe overall has only gone up by 2%.
Okay.
And, you know, some of the reasons given to this is that, well, you know, it's the suggested economic growth in North America, which has been a lot higher than in Europe, where, you know, they've been facing recessions in some of the southern European countries.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole lot of number crunching here. If you look at the most congested cities in Europe, because, you know, they do look at 6 continents... In Europe, the top 5, in 5th place, you've got Rome.
Right.
And in 4th place is Warsaw.
Okay.
St. Petersburg is in 3rd.
Right.
Bucharest is in 2nd.
I reckon Paris is number 1.
Moscow is listed as number 1, Gareth.
There we go.
As the most congested city in Europe.
All right.
Then if you look at the most congested city in North America, in 5th place is New York. I mean, you've been to New York. You love New York.
It's the fifth most.
It's the fifth most congested in North America.
Whew. I'll tell you, Austin, Texas wasn't so quiet.
Okay.
There's a lot of traffic there, but it could have just been around the time I was there.
New York is in 5th.
LA is pretty bad.
Okay. LA is on the list.
Okay.
In 4th place is Vancouver.
Okay, Canada.
Really?
Canada, eh? Yeah.
More than New York.
Yeah.
That's
more
surprising.
Than New York. In 3rd place is San Francisco.
Right.
Los Angeles comes in 2nd place.
What's the most congested city in America?
Mexico City.
Yep.
Yeah, you guessed it.
Okay, in the North American continent. Yeah, that makes sense. Definitely. It's huge. Mexico City is enormous. There are millions and millions of people over there. And it must be crazy in traffic. How about the rest of them?
All right, so let's look at the five most congested cities globally, right? This is now looking at the whole world. So,
all right.
In fifth place, Moscow, which is the most congested city in Europe. Then you've got Rio de Janeiro in fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Istanbul is in third place.
Right.
The second most congested city is Bangkok.
We like that name, don't we, Mubs?
And then the number one most congested city globally, according to TomTom's traffic index, Mexico City.
Huh.
So
no African cities on there.
No, they were. They Lagos. Were. They included two. Let's see what they say here.
Just I'd say Lagos and Johannesburg have got to be on the list somewhere.
Okay. Well, only two African cities that were included are Cape Town and Johannesburg. And this is because TomTom said that they have no data for other African cities. So we can't tell whether a Lagos is better or worse than a Joburg or a Cape Town. They only surveyed South Africa because they said, well, we couldn't get data for other countries on the continent.
Take it from me. Lagos and Cairo are on there, and Johannesburg and Cape Town are probably deserving award winners as well. Congestion, it's just horrible. But it does show you how many people can afford cars, and that is never a bad thing. So when you look around you in the traffic and you say, oh my God, all these people on my road, because that's what people think, the road belongs to them. All these people on my road, what you think actually is that you're part of a nation that is empowering people. They're growing. They're able to pay for their own transport to and from work. It's great. We should be very pleased with that. Personal transport. For many people, the car is the first symbol of their step up on the social ladder.
Here is where I'm raising an eyebrow at TomTom's annual traffic index report. They have listed Johannesburg 77th on the list. This is out of 295 cities. Joburg 77th. They've got Cape Town listed at number 47th. So the suggestion is that traffic congestion in Cape Town is worse than in Joburg.
It might be because their roads are narrower and they're, you know, more concentrated.
But they're definitely not. I mean, there are more cars in Joburg,
right? Way more. Yeah. Way, way more. I mean, if everybody in Joburg, come on, we could easily accommodate all the cars in Cape Town and we'd still have busy roads here like we have already.
And also, whenever people in Cape Town are forced to drive in Joburg, you know, they're always bitching about how much worse our traffic here is compared to theirs, right?
It's hell. Absolutely. Do you want to hear from somebody who's from Cape Town who's never been stuck in Joburg traffic before?
Okay.
They're right here. Let me get them on the line. Yes, sir. Go ahead. You can say what you want to say.
What the fuck is going on, cocksucker? You motherfucker!
All right, sir.
You
calm down.
Cocksucker! Who the fuck is
all
this?
All right.
What the fuck is going on?
All right, please.
Rocky!
He's losing his mind.
Rocky!
All right, thank you, sir. There we go. You see, that's what happens when a Cape Townian comes to drive in Johannesburg.
That's what happens when you spend up to 219 hours a year stuck in traffic.
Oh,
man.
Feels bad.
219 hours.
A year.
Yeah, quite a lot. Did I ever play you that clip of that band who sounded like Stairway to Heaven? I'm sure we did look at that, didn't we? Remember I said that Led Zeppelin had been copied?
Oh.
And there's that lawsuit going on.
Oh, yeah.
I did play that
and
for you, right?
And then you did a little comparison.
We still don't have an update on how that's been going. But apparently, this band says that Led Zeppelin stole the opening of Stairway to Heaven from them. And it's going to court, and it's a multi-million dollar lawsuit. This is Taurus from Spirit. Claim that is very similar to Stairway to Heaven from Led Zeppelin, and it is to any music aficionado. But we'll get you an update on that. It should actually be in court this week, is the latest we've heard. All right, anything else you want to throw in there, Mubs?
Gareth, in a good news story, I suppose.
Yay.
A British
pedophile fugitive was nabbed right here at home in Cape Town.
Good.
This is quite a story.
Why was he hiding out here?
Well, he escaped from facing charges back in his own country, and then he managed to get away and come here. So a wanted British pedophile has been arrested at his Greenpoint home, where he was living a double life. You know, a bunch of his neighbors were interviewed, and they had nothing but good things to say about their neighbor.
Man, we've got to get smarter neighbors. They never know.
But, you know, it just goes to show with people who live a double life, and every time neighbors get interviewed, they're so shocked, and they say,
such a nice guy.
Oh, but you know that Michael Flex was such a nice boy. You know, he took out my rubbish every week.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that Flex was like, I don't know,
monster.
Shooting people up on weekends or whatever. You just never know who's, you know, who's among you. So this man came to Cape Town, set up a good life for himself in suburbia for over a decade. Lee Nigel Tucker, who's 52, he went on the run 15 years ago while awaiting sentencing for sexually assaulting boys in Britain.
Oh, my God.
Although a wanted fugitive, he arrived in Cape Town a few years later. He bought a home on the slopes of Signal Hill and started a brand new life as a helicopter pilot and an IT consultant. He was originally busted in Bristol back in 1998 as part of a pedophile gang.
A gang of pedophiles?
Yes, they were targeting boys aged between 12 and 15. Tucker was found guilty in the year 2000 of a series of child sex assaults. While out on bail receiving treatment for a rare disease, he fled Britain and is believed to have spent time in the Far East before eventually arriving in Cape Town in the mid-2000s and settling there. So he was sentenced in absentia to 8 years in jail, but his sentence was later quashed due to a technicality.
Ugh.
So as far as he was aware, you know, he was an innocent guy because, you know, his sentence.
I hope he wasn't abusing any kids here in South Africa.
Well, this is the question now, isn't it? Is all those neighbors who were shocked and horrified are now thinking, but what about that time that little Johnny was over at the neighbor's house mowing his lawn or whatever?
In his underpants.
So then in 2003, there was a retrial for his co-accused who were convicted. At the time that he fled justice, British police described Tucker as a dangerous fugitive and warned the public not to approach him. So last week, acting on an Interpol arrest warrant, officers from the South African Police Crime Intelligence Unit started, you know, they investigated apprehending Tucker because they said, no, this guy has been classified as dangerous. We need to find him. They found Tucker. They could not arrest him at the time at the helicopter charter company where he had been working.
He's a pretty slippery guy, this.
Yeah, so he'd been retrenched at his place of work and they couldn't arrest him at his place of work. Mm-hmm. Further surveillance revealed that arresting Tucker at his home would be difficult as it was protected by security gates and high walls. So what the team decided to do was to use information that Tucker had recently reported a break into his garage. The authorities then posed as local police who arrived at his house to investigate the crime.
Smart.
And that is when they nabbed him.
Good. And now he's in jail.
And now he is in a South African jail. I don't know. What happens now? Does he get deported back to Britain? Because
that's where he's got to face the music.
That's where he's got to face the music.
Well, you know, you can't be too careful with this whole neighbors thing. You don't know who's living next door to you.
You don't know who's living next door to you. It could be a British pedophile. It could be a man who's just stolen 71 million rand from his company over a 10-year period. It could be anybody.
Some dodgy people in the world. Did you hear what Justin Bieber did?
No.
He posted this about 2 hours ago. Love you guys. I'm going to be canceling my meet and greets.
At his concert?
Yeah, Flex, how does it work? At the concerts, you do these meet and greets.
So right now he's on his Purpose tour for his latest album, and he does meet and greets either before or afterwards.
Yeah.
So it's one-on-ones, and you pay exorbitant amounts.
You know, you know I could have done this. I was scheduled to do the meet and greet with him, and I arrived late.
On purpose or?
No, by mistake.
Was this the helicopter story?
Yeah.
Did you end up?
I was having so much fun in the helicopter. I arrived late for the meet and greet with Justin Bieber. So I arrive in the entrance hall, and I could see him walking away with his bodyguards. And they said, oh, well, you're too late for the meet and greet. So I went, all right. Flax would have killed himself.
Yeah, he would have chased after him.
Right? I would have just gone for the meet and greet, because I don't think I would have enjoyed the concert experience with, like, the young kids and screaming and that. Apparently, it's unbearable, the sound. Screaming.
There's a wee sound that kind of shatters glass. It's a horrible sound.
Scientists have said that this pitch sound is possibly even higher than the dog whistle that only dogs can hear.
That's right.
I mean, it's at a higher pitch.
Even dogs run away.
See, I'm joking, obviously.
Oh. He says, I enjoy meeting such incredible people, but I end up feeling so drained and filled with so much of other people's spiritual energy that I end up drained and unhappy. I want to make people smile and happy, but not at my expense. And I always leave feeling mentally and emotionally exhausted to the point of depression. The pressure of meeting people's expectations of what I'm supposed to be is so much for me to handle, and a lot on my shoulders. I never want to disappoint, but I feel I'd rather give you guys the show and my albums as promised. I can't tell you how sorry I am. I wish it wasn't so hard on me. And I want to stay in my healthy mindset. I'm in to give you the best show you've ever seen. Wink face, Justin Bieber.
Just accept the money and do the meet and greets.
That's my thing as well.
Like, how much people pay for those meet and greets?
Like $3,000
each. Yeah. And these rich guys who have young daughters who are obsessed with him, they'll pay that kind of money. And then he just puts it in the bank. What a win.
Now, I had a couple of friends who decided to, like, fork out this ridiculous amount when Justin Bieber was here in South Africa.
Oh, really? You know people who paid?
But the sad thing is he looks so bummed out and unimpressed in the photos they get to take as well. It's not even worth it. He doesn't talk to you. It's just like, next, take a picture and you're gone.
Oh!
He probably takes, like, thousands of photos a day.
No, I'm sure he's tired of it. I'm sure he's bored to death. But, I mean, you're getting paid for this.
His PR team said they're stopping it because there was a security breach at his last one. One of the girls that are on a watch list made it through somehow.
watch list.
He doesn't enjoy the girls pulling his hair, and one even gave him flu once.
Oh. Well, I understand that. That would drive me crazy. Flu. Sick people should just be put in a tent.
It just sounds to me like young girls are possibly moving up the list of most dangerous people in the world. Pulling at people's hair.
You thought they were dangerous joining ISIS. They're dangerous just meeting anybody. All right, listen, when we come back in a moment or two, we're going to speak to the world's number one gamer. We also got plenty more for you. It is a Wednesday morning on cliffcentral.com. Hello. I love you. Won't you tell me your name? Bum, bum.
Oh.
You know what that's from?
No. Sounds like an 80s song. That's all I know.
It's from The Doors. Jim Morrison. Hello. I love you, won't you tell me your name? Boom, boom, hello. I love you, won't you jump in the game? I think. Ta, 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 ta. Anyway, there's that one. Yesterday I was very disappointed in Sia.
What?
I started singing, he wants to paint a shelf here black.
Okay.
There's a shelf that we want to put into the office.
Uh-huh.
Big bookshelf. So he wants to paint it black. So I said, I see a shelf and now I want to paint it black. And he didn't know what I was talking about. Maybe I should play that song for you.
So we need a Mystic song and we need that one.
Mystic?
Mystic.
Wait, what's it? The
Mystical. Mystical.
Yeah, that's the one.
Mystical. Well, let me play you Paint It Black. You'll see what a great song this is.
Okay.
It was actually covered by a lot of people since then, but the Rolling Stones.
Do you know good Charlotte's All Black? That I know.
No, this is way better. Listen to this. This is your music education, Sia, which continues this morning. 14 after 8. CliffCentral.com.